Hey everybody, welcome back to IDP Plus Trends. I am one of your co-hosts at Johnny Freak in F1. I am with my co-host as usual, Average Joes. He is at AVGJoes_FF. Last week we had talked about some rookies going draft to draft on the offensive side, talking about who got a nice landing spot, who were scouting early to make a big rookie year one impact as far as fantasy football goes. And this week, we're going to translate that to the defensive side of the ball. So for all you IDP heads out there, welcome aboard. Get excited. We have some names to talk about, some heavy hitters, and then some guys who might be a little bit slept on. So we're going to look at the NFL draft rounds 1 through 7. Some rounds may be, you know, a little bit more concentrated than the others, but we're going to try to go through this a little bit quick and give some guys who we think are at a good position to make a good year one. Not only year one, but also for you dynasty guys to give good lifetime, you know, career production. So, Steve, how you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm good. Ready to talk some defense. We had a great offense video last week and podcast. I thought we talked about some players that may not have gotten the respect that they deserved. You might have found some sleepers listening to that video. You know, that might have, you know, when you're doing your rookie draft pick. So. Now we're on the defensive side, I think will be something that, again, a niche area that not everybody's doing, but I think we're going to add some value to help you guys out, especially when most people tend to really focus on the offensive side. And maybe you can sneak some good defensive players in there before your league mates and maybe pull off a win this season.
No doubt, brother, man. I mean, it was a loaded. We talk about this draft class. Everyone has heard how loaded it was on the offensive side. We actually didn't get a defensive pick until, 15, Latu for the Colts was the first edge rusher, the first defensive player taken off the board there. We have Latu, some big hitters here on the edge rushers side. We got Latu, Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, some big names. But this first one, Latu, for me, and then I'll turn it over to you, Steve. I'm kind of torn on Latu. I mean, he's a great prospect. This is somebody who was obviously drafted early, the first defensive player off the board. So, you know, we think that at this point he's checked the boxes for teams to invest that kind of capital in him. My hesitation, though, you know, the Colts, they do have a good offensive line, which usually you catch me saying, I like that. I want to get a guy from, you know, from that crew because they have a lot of guys to take attention off. Said player. But for Latu, you know, he's had some health concerns. There's that red flag. I don't know that he's going to be needed that heavy. It seems like Indy, they like to rotate their guys on the defensive side, especially the front. So for me, I'm a little bit hesitant. This isn't my as much as it was the first player off the board. Mm-hmm. And many analysts will say this is their number one defensive player when it comes to dynasty drafts. I'm not so sold on that. Steve, do you think the same?
When you're looking at like how he, you know, him coming in playing defensive end, I thought Verse was actually going to be the first one coming off the board. I know other people had Dallas Turner, but I thought Verse was going to be the better option. And you know, he did go in the first round. He wasn't much, I think it was what, 3 or 4 picks after the fact. So it wasn't like it was that far. But I felt Verse had a better, I think he's gonna have a bigger impact than I think Latu does. But I get it. I think his speed, I think there were some things that you liked from what he was able to do. He came in really highly touted. Again, like you mentioned, a lot of people are in love with what he was able to do in college, and they think it's going to translate really well going into the NFL, and we'll see how it plays out for the defense for the Colts. I think Verse was the better prospect, and I think Verse landing spot was a lot better. Like if you're talking – if you're going through your rookie draft right now in an IDP league and you need to get a defensive end, I'm going to take the risk and go Verse because of where he landed too. I think that defense is a good position for him. I know there's a big change up for the Rams, but I think he's going to have an ultimate impact right away. Now, both, I will give credit to Latu. At least with this stance, you still have Buckner on that defensive line. He's going to take a lot of double teams, a lot of credit where the Rams obviously lost Aaron Donald. But I liked what they did in the second round. We'll talk about that later, that the Rams did. But, you know, maybe this gives Latu some opportunities to have that single, you know, that tackle that is only guarding him. And maybe he can make that play He was, again, really good off the edge. He ran a 4.64 in his 40, so he's really athletic. He's got a great – he can drop his hip and shoulders and get around defenders – or, excuse me, offensive linemen really well. I still think I would take a Verse. I think Verse would have been the better prospect for sure.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I was actually on a podcast last night, the Rider Dynasty podcast with JJ, Joe Harlow, a couple other great analysts. That was a was a pleasure to be a part of that. But we did a four-round IDP rookie draft, and I actually had the first pick, and I took Jared Verse. So for me, obviously, I just told you who my number one is, but I actually would go Dallas Turner number two in Minnesota. I'm just kind of like enamored with like, oh, they lost so much production from Danielle Hunter. They're pretty close to being a really great team. I think he makes an impact right away. Then I'd go Latu at number three just because the hesitancy with injury. I know that's maybe not everyone agrees with that, but it's in the back of my mind. And will he exactly make that big splash rookie year? So if you're listening to this, you're giving an advice to somebody who wants a defensive lineman who's going to be best bang for their buck this year, how would you rank those three guys? The same way I did?
Yeah, I think Turner was definitely somebody I think was ranked higher than Verse and Latu. I think Latu had signs, like I said, I think he had signs of being really good, but of the three, he's the least explosive. So, you know, Turner ran a stupid 40. You know, he was ridiculous, and he's got great burst. A little bit smaller on compared to, say, Jared Verse, but Turner definitely has that explosion, and he does have a perfect scenario to come in with instant impact for the Vikings, and they're going to need him because he is replacing someone who in Hunter that was fantastic for them. I know the Vikings got some replacements. I wouldn't even call them replacements. I don't think they're as good as obviously Hunter. I think Turner was a good pick. I still just like Jared Verse. I think overall he's a good run blocker or run defender. He's a good pass rush. Like he just overall just seemed a little bit better of a defender. So I put Verse ahead of Turner. Turner definitely number two, Latu number three for sure in those orders. And there's some arguments of some of the other guys that went to the first. I wasn't as crazy about, you know, like Chop Robinson, who got a lot of love for some crazy reason because I was not sold on him. I think he was more of a second rounder. There were a couple other players that I think I would have gotten before these guys. But yeah, I think you said it right. I think, you know, Turner second, first, and then Latu third.
All right, I appreciate the love. I like that. I'm in good company here. So after I picked first overall, the second pick went to Joe Harlow, and this guy knows his stuff. So I'm somebody who's not really versed on the defensive lineman, so I really listened when he talked, and he actually picked Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, second overall. And I thought this was a good pick. I think this guy's going to get the opportunity to hit the ground running. This is definitely a guy who can make an impact year one. Would you agree? What do you think on him?
Yeah, Murphy was great. I actually have Murphy in two of my rookie leagues that I've already drafted. I thought it was a great spot, you know, in Seattle. You've got Leonard Williams there.
Right.
He can learn from. He's going to have some impact. I like Byron Murphy a lot. I really had hoped I did kind of hope he went to a different team. I thought him going to actually the Rams, I thought was going to be where he was going to go to try to replace, you know, Aaron Donald. But obviously he went before he had the chance. So, you know, and I get it. Seattle's trying to shore up that defense, you know, trying to bring back some of the glory days when they won Super Bowls, you know, trying to get that defense right. And I think it starts with him. I know a lot of people love Sweat, you know. Sweat was a big one, especially because of his size and athleticism for his size, because he is a big boy. So, right. You know, you heard a lot about Sweat coming into the league. Byron Murphy, though, was the clear-cut number one defensive tackle. Like, there was no argument about that at all. There was no one better than him, for sure.
Definitely, man. Now I'm looking at a guy at 24 who got picked. This is a cornerback. And for those of you playing in defensive back leagues, you're probably not poaching many cornerbacks unless it's a slot corner, Brian Branch, Roger McCreary, someone of that nature who makes a lot of tackles. Now, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, This is somebody who goes to a great landing spot in the Lions. They definitely needed another cornerback. With Branch being there, I know there's a lot of hype on him, maybe somebody who to get a lot of tackles. Do you think with Brian Branch there that this is still a possibility? Because to me, as juicy as it is as a landing spot, you still have to compete with Brian Branch, and they have good safeties there. So do you think this is an IDP hit right away for those playing in cornerback needy leagues?
I mean, possibly. We'll see. I'm not the type of person that drafts rookie corners in an IDP league.
Right.
There's a lot of corners, right? Like in most IDP leagues, you might have maybe one or two cornerbacks, you know? And if you think about it, there's at least 32 really good ones, and you're in a 12-man league most likely. So the likelihood of you missing on that, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So it is going to be tough for these rookie guys. Cause I look at a few of my leagues that, again, I've already drafted and I've gone through waivers. A lot of these guys are still sitting there. Like I see Quinyon Mitchell still sitting in waivers, you know, Terrion Arnold still sitting on waivers. Like where most value, of course, and I'm sure you agree, is where it comes into defensive backs or anything like that is really going to be safeties. Like they have the biggest right. value because not only can they make impact, especially if you reward big plays, you know, interceptions, pass deflections, you know, those type of things. Obviously, they have that ability. And then, of course, they're going to get a lot more tackles traditionally than a cornerback. You'll find a few cornerbacks that you can consistently. Like one of my favorite cornerbacks is, you know, Moore from Indy, right? There's a few. There's not many. I mean, I always bring up Deron Bland. I had Bland in a few of my IDP leagues because of how well he played last season. But the fact that he is, like, you're not expecting him to repeat what he did last season with those touchdowns. You know, take away those record-breaking touchdowns, he would never have scored anywhere near the points that you may need consistently compared to, say, a safety or a free safety. So it's tough. Depending on how your roster is played out, I really kind of stay away from any cornerbacks at this point in rookie drafts.
Right. Well, we'll stay away from them for a while. The next guy we're going to talk about is another edge rusher, and that is Darius Robinson to the Cardinals, pick 27 overall out of Missouri. I think this guy's had a great landing spot to go to Arizona. They definitely need somebody on that line. I know he wasn't a hugely polished prospect when we talk about those big three that we mentioned earlier, but I think Darius Robinson here, especially in rookie IDP drafts, I think this is somebody who's a good, maybe late round first pick. You agree with that?
He could definitely be someone you can get later on. Like I said, I was able to get, it's tough when you're talking IDP. Not only are everyone super excited to get, these offensive rookies, right? You know, for the first, I would say probably late second is when you start seeing defensive players being taken in rookie draft picks. So when you talk about a player like Darius Robinson, you're probably going to see him in the mid to late third, maybe early fourth. If you do four rounds, is where you probably see his name coming up, because, you know, if we're talking traditional aspect of how scoring goes, you're going to see players like Edrin Cooper and, you'll see Colson even from the Chargers. You'll see defensive ends, defensive tackles. Those are players you're going to see commonly drafted in, like I said, the mid to late second, depending on what your needs are. So Darius Robinson could definitely be a late second, early third that I think you can have some value in, because he is going to have instant impact. He's not as explosive as you would like. He's a big guy. He's 6'5", he's 285. Like, he's a great run defender. He's more of a bull rusher than, I would say, the athletic type, like we talked about with Turner or with Verse or even Latu. Like, he is definitely, and I would say, he reminds me of like DeMarcus Lawrence from the Cowboys. Like, that's kind of the vibe I get from him as far as his play style, the way his build is, everyone forgets DeMarcus Lawrence, in his heyday was, a double digit sack type of defender. And then now that he's getting older, he's really played into the role of being a great run defender. And I think a great run defender can still have a lot of value in fantasy. So for me, he's got very similar aspects. So yeah, I mean, I could take him in the late second, early third. And I think he'd have some value down the road.
Yeah, should be productive right off the bat. Definitely has the capability, definitely will have the opportunity too. So Darius Robinson, another guy in the first round who could have some immediate IDP value, even though being just a rookie. Before we get into round two, I wanted to mention that IDP Plus, right now we are partnering with Expedia as an affiliate. We are thrilled to announce our new partnership with your one-stop shop for the best prices in the travel world, period. Expedia.com. Listen, with Mother's Day on the horizon, Expedia is the place to make it special for the mom in your life. Get 10% or more off at over 100,000 hotels worldwide and 30% off when booking a flight with your accommodations. Check out the link in the show description and get your next adventure planned today. So we got 10% off or more at all these 100,000 different hotels. Unfortunately, it does not come with William Shatner endorsement. That was when I think of Expedia, I think of William Shatner. But yeah, check out Expedia. We have a partnership going with them. We're running a promo. And if you're thinking about flying, maybe going to the Fantasy Football Expo, use Expedia because you can get some money off with the IDP Plus team. So great promotion right there. Let's bounce it into round two. And I'm going to mention somebody right off the bat, Steve, that I'm excited for. You had said his name already briefly, and that was Edgerrin Cooper. This is a guy who right now is going first or second, especially when we're talking strictly linebackers, rookie IDP. Do you think that he's going to, you know, on one hand of mine, I'm thinking like, man, you know, Quay Walker's been hurt. Devondre Campbell, he's not in the building anymore. He's with the 49ers. So there's an immediate opportunity for tackles, for production. Now, I know he was a little bit of a hybrid linebacker. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant. I don't know, like, really how he's going to translate. When I'm hunting linebackers, I'm really looking for, you know, tackles, premier tackle getters. You know, somebody like Frankie Louvu was great for the couple years, for the last couple years, but I never had him because he was somebody who I thought was like, he needed to get the sacks. Then he needed to also hit his floor on tackles. That to me kind of is a turnoff. First of all, is it a turnoff for you? And you know, what kind of player do you think that Cooper's going to be with the Green Bay Packers?
So this is a tough one because I did draft Edgerrin Cooper in one league. I had the opportunity to. I figured I'd take him, you know, get the young linebacker. I liked him coming out of college. I thought realistically of the linebackers coming in, I liked him. I know a lot of people had him high. I was a bigger fan of Peyton Wilson, but we'll talk about that separately. But I'm not sure how I feel about the Packers, because here's the thing. Quay Walker, who has, when healthy, been a great linebacker, he does tend to have to rely on some of the big plays. You know, he's not consistently going to get you, you know, a boatload of tackles. He's not going to be that guy. And I feel like my fear is that Cooper's going to fall into that same category. Like, I think about the linebackers for the Packers, and when's the last time a linebacker that was really relevant that was of great value, right? You had linebackers like A.J. Hawk, one of the best linebacker names in the world, you know?
Martinez.
But even then, huh?
Martinez was probably the last one I can think, and like that was a while ago.
Yeah, and I just... Because he was, I mean, A.J. Hawk was their clear-cut middle linebacker. We're not even going to talk about the edge linebackers that they had because they didn't have, you know, again, you're too reliant on sacks. And I don't know how this guy, I feel about it. I think he's still worth grabbing depending on where you're going in your draft rounds. Like, again, I got him in the second. It was a bit of a reach, I felt, in my part, but I needed a linebacker. I had my offensive shored up, so I was like, you know, let me start going. No one took, you know, didn't get the opportunity to trade back to try to get some picks or something like that. So I don't hate myself for taking it. Like, I don't regret it, but I don't know. There's some other linebackers that we'll probably mention that I feel are a little bit better when it comes to your rookie fantasy. Because realistically, in the second round, like of this second round, you've got some great defensive tackles that we could talk about that I think are great pickups in your rookie like leagues, like period. That I absolutely love, you know, the linebackers I felt were going to be a lot better down the road.
Yeah. Who's some defensive tackles you like here? Let me pass.
Number one, I'm a little biased, but number one is Braden Fisk for the Rams. I felt him pairing up with his teammate, Jared Verse, and you're never going to replace Aaron Donald, but him going into, that role and just the energy. Like, he is a high motor guy. He is willing to do whatever he needs to. And the fact that now he's got his teammate next to him, I think those two are going to be amazing together because they know how each other plays. They can, you know, make some call signs when they need to. They're going to see all kinds of things. They just know each other, and that's a huge deal. And the other one I like is Tavondre Sweat, because he's going to be opposite, you know, right next to Jeffrey Simmons for the Titans. And man, I thought that was a good move for the Titans to shore up that defensive line, putting him next to Simmons and just really like go after it. I thought those were my two favorite picks in the second round. I think those two guys have absolutely some great value. I will say Fisk is one guy. I don't know if he's necessarily the better fantasy aspect, but I think he's just as a football player is probably one of the best picks that the Rams did for sure.
I agree with that, man. That's a good point. Number one, for those college teammates to get back, grind together and know each other, how they play, I think that's a great fit. I overlooked that a little bit, didn't put the pieces together until you just mentioned it. Like these guys both a lot. And then the Titans definitely made good moves. I mean, they got J.C. Latham in the first round. Then they come back here, shore up the defensive line, defensive tackle. They get Sweat, so great moves by them. Not sexy moves, but moves that are going to help that team go in the direction that they would like to this year. Maybe help the fantasy guys there a little bit more too.
And there's some good defensive backs that you can get in this round. If you're talking second round, if you need to grab somebody, you got Newbin, you got Bishop. That these guys are drafted to come in as starters, right? Like the Giants grabbed Tyler Newbin because they needed to replace McKinney. He's going to have an opportunity to be the starter. Bishop's right. Coming in for the Buffalo Bills, who, I mean, they lost everybody on their defensive side. You know, so again, these are guys that are going to have value, especially if you've got defensive backs positions to fill up that, you know, you got to think about, like, not every defensive player that you're seeing in this rookie class is going to be a starter for you. You know, day one when it comes to this season. But there are some players like those two that come in as a starter. Like, that's where you got to look at these spots that these guys landed. And I'm a big proponent of defensive backs because I play a lot of big splash plays in my scoring league. So I can get tackles and I can get pass deflections and interceptions. Like, those guys I'm putting as my flex players all day, every day over a linebacker.
Now let me ask you this: out of those two, I'm glad you mentioned them. Who are you taking in? Whether it be redraft, dynasty, who do you think is going to be the better rookie, more fantasy points, Bishop or Newbin? Then I'll answer it.
So, I think just because of opportunity and scheme, I'm going Bishop.
Okay.
Only because, like, I look at Newbin, you know. Newbin had okay, so I guess scoring wise, I think Newbin could possibly be better only because the fact is that he's going to be in a team that's probably playing behind a lot, meaning, you got some high powered offenses they're going to go against, you know, the Eagles, the Cowboys. Now you got the Commanders with Jaden Daniels in that offense. I mean, there's some opportunities, but I think the Bills can keep up, which would keep Bishop, I think, in a better situation. I think he's going to have a better chance to start almost instantly for sure. Athletically, though, I mean, I'm looking at both of these guys. I saw some of their college. I didn't go deep dive into safeties because I usually do that a little bit closer to the end of the summer when I start doing even more of my drafts. You know, looking at those guys, I don't know. I just like the game of Bishop. I like the situation he's in a little bit better than Newbin.
Yeah, I feel that, man. This is tough, a really tough question. For me, I'm going to say I'm just going to think I'm playing it safe here with the tackles and go Newbin. Sure. You know, like you said, they're going to be playing from behind a lot, so they're going to be – the defense is going to be on the field. Really not much playmaking ability there in the linebackers in backfield as it is. They have Okereke, great tackle guy. But other than that, I think they're because of the lack of skill there, I think there's going to be more – opportunity for Newbin, you know, to get some tackles. Now, another factor I'm looking at, I can't recall the guy's name, and it's a shame because he went to Pitt. There's the other safety there who plays like the free safety role for the Giants. He got a couple picks last year. I forget who it was, his name. Do you remember that?
For last year, you said?
Yeah, for the Giants. I believe he was either first, he was a rookie or a second year guy, but that I forget the player. I'll have to look it up. But that guy kind of plays in the ball hawking spot, which really to me is going to allow Newbin to play up closer to the box and get more tackles. Now, Cole Bishop, correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, I didn't watch college. I don't watch a lot of tape. But I think Cole Bishop, if I remember reading about him, he was like a big play guy. So maybe if you're scoring big play interceptions, you go Bishop. But for me, I'm going to try to play safe here and just, you know, go easy with the tackles. And I think I'll take Newbin. You feel me?
Yeah, scoring is definitely going to play a factor. Like I said, my scoring leagues have always been you're going to get points for deflections, interceptions, like big plays. So, you know, like that's going to change how I'm going to draft my team. You know, and it matters. And I think that's I've seen too many people make too many mistakes where they're drafting just because of name or they like that player or they're in a great spot. But then you forget that your scoring is a certain way. And then you're like, maybe I didn't draft the best player because that does play a factor for sure. And I think that's too many times that I see people do that. They forget what their scoring is like.
Right. Right. So pay attention to scoring. Ultimately, that's going to, it's like a house. When you redo a house, the house talks to you. You don't know what you're going to do. You start taking wood, you start taking drywall. The house says, hey, leave this kitchen open. Right. So your scoring is going to, in fantasy, it's going to tell you where you need to go. Hey, this is tackle premium. It's big play premium. Right. So check out your scoring. That's definitely paramount. Absolutely. Good point. Now, I wanted to mention one honorable mention in this round for me while we're on the defensive back train. He's a cornerback, and we said cornerbacks don't return a lot of value, but I think this guy could be an outlier because I think he's going to play in the slot, and he's going to have ample opportunities for tackles, which is all I'm chasing at the defensive back position, and that's Mike Sanderstrill out of Michigan. Steve, what do you think about this guy? You think you on board with me that you think this guy can get a lot of tackles this year?
He could. I actually was surprised you didn't. I thought you were going to mention Cooper DeJean because of his special team, his ability, because we talked about that before in another video where if depending on your special teams may be scored, he may play a factor. You know, we talked about defensive players that have some value and I thought you were going to mention him, but yeah, I mean, again, I'm thinking, you know, you're talking that division where you're going to see a lot of passing. I would say I will give credit. I think nickel, you know, corners do a lot better when it comes to run defense and gain more tackles than I would say a traditional outside corner, because the fact is like usually, you know, a lot of teams play what, three wide, maybe four wide. But if you're playing three wide, a lot of teams still run out of the shotgun. They'll run out of the three wide situation, which means typically the corner it's in the slot is closer to the line, which means they're going to have opportunities to get some tackles. So yeah, I mean, if you're talking, like I mentioned Kenny Moore. Like Kenny Moore is a cornerback that you're not normally putting on a roster in your IDP, but he does play a lot of inside, meaning he's going to get a lot more opportunities to make tackles. So yeah, there's a chance he could, because again, I think of what, you know, Eagles. I mean, they all kind of run out of that three wide. Like they all do in some form of way. And then you got two running, actually all three. I mean, Dak and Daniel Jones and Hurts can all run outside the pocket that, you know, you got to deal with that factor. So, yeah, I mean, the opportunities are there for sure. And they do need some help. I mean, defensively, that whole team needed some help. And you got Dan Quinn coming in there. And you can tell he's putting his fingerprint on this whole roster because he went defense heavy for sure. And he went after his type of guys. And if you think about his type of guys, a lot of those defensive players, especially defensive backs, whether you're corner or safety, you played inside, you played run defense, like you played more than you probably were used to in college. So, like I think of Donovan Wilson, who was a safety, but man, he played more like the Sam or, you know, Will linebacker role than anything else. So he played close to the line almost every single time, and he had a lot of value for sure in fantasy.
Right. So, and to go back to DeJean, the difference for me is with DeJean and Sanderstrill. If I'm somebody who I'm playing in a return yards league, I'm definitely leaning towards DeJean. Now, if another thing for Sanderstrill, I'll lean to him if I hear that he's going to be in the slot. So this is not a, you know, first rounder in an IDP draft right now. This is a back end pick. But I expect his value, especially in Dynasty, to only increase, and redraft too, if he does get that designated slot corner position. So I think that he can definitely provide value. I remember back in the day, I don't think they have many more, but Kendall Fuller, you know, at least I haven't heard his name in a while. Kendall Fuller was a cornerback, slot corner, but he was getting a good tackle percentage there for the Washington Commanders. So I definitely think that Sanders Strill can you know, up the ante and be a little bit more productive than Fuller. So I, once again, if I'm chasing tackles and I hear that Sanders Strill is in the slot, I love him. If I'm in a return yards league and Cooper DeJean, he's going to return punts and kicks, love him. You know, so that's just the difference for me. Anybody else in round two you want to mention?
No, I felt like we mentioned a lot of the ones that I think have some value that are going to be something that you may want to consider. Like Marshawn Nealon's the only other one that we didn't really talk about that Dallas may have. He may have an instant impact, you know, because Dallas lost a lot of their defensive ends. And no one knows what Mike Zimmer's going to do, because Mike Zimmer may put, you know, Parsons more at the linebacker spot and kind of move him to the edge every once in a while, which would allow Nealon to have opportunity to kind of have an impact almost right away. Like, obviously they've got Lawrence and they still have Sam Williams. Like, you know, those guys are going to be, but he's going to be rotated in quite often. And I, the more I look at this pick from the Dallas Cowboys, the more I love Nealon in this spot. I didn't love it at first, but when I started looking at his game film and what I think this team could be, I think Nealon was a great pick. You know, I hated it, and I was like, man, we could have gotten something different. But it makes sense now when you really start looking at how this team is being built as a roster. They are definitely going young and rebuilding through this draft. But I think he's going to have a little bit of an impact. But again, I'm not seeing I've done 20 drafts already in rookie. Of those 20, about 10 of them are IDP. I've not seen Nealon get drafted. So don't go crazy for him.
Got it. And that's a hometown inside information. Steve's Dallas Cowboys. We see the star back there. So I knew you had to mention him. That's why I gave you the floor on that. Before we move into round three, I want to mention another promo we're running. You know, we're talking about these guys. Hopefully they're going to show up on Sundays. But this Sunday, don't forget it. It's Mother's Day. Don't get yourself in the doghouse with a boring gift of for your mom, for your wife. Whoever's in your life, whatever mother's in your life, Trophy Smack has fully customizable belts and rings for the special mom in your life. Let her know she's the best with a flashy token of your appreciation, and make all the world's best mom coffee mug givers run and hide. We only have a few weeks until the big day, a few days now. Head over to trophysmack.com and use the promo code IDPGuys to get a free championship ring with the purchase of a custom trophy or belt. Check out the link in the show description and win Mother's Day for your mom. So Trophy Smack, if you haven't checked out the website, even if you're not going to get that custom trophy or belt, check them out. They have great trophies there. We got fantasy baseball running. We got fantasy football coming up. So get ahead of the game. Get your trophy now. Don't wait till the end. Be legit. So check out Trophy Smack if you have not already. Moving into round three here, Steve. We had mentioned it before. The first name I'm going to talk about, unanimous LB1 or LB2 in the rankings thus far, Junior Colson, returns from Michigan, reunites, I should say, with his head coach, Harbaugh. Now he's playing for the Chargers. This is somebody who a lot of people expect to step up and be great. Now, my question is with him, I do expect him to start right away based on familiarity and not much you know, front runners ahead of him. They have Denzel Perriman there, 30 years old. You know, he was a standout in his early days with the Chargers, but I'm not sure he's still able to put the wear and tear, you know, by him and make a full 17 games. I don't think that's the case. So I do expect Junior Colson to get an opportunity and make some tackles. But I'm just worried for the long run here as far as Dynasty. I think this is a good redraft pick, but I'm a little bit hesitant in Dynasty. I think, you know, years two and three, there might be a little bit rust on this pick. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I am not in love with – I mean, I love what the pick for Colson. I love where he landed. I love that he, you know, gets to go back to his college coach. And, you know, and I think he's going to have some value. I don't – There's another linebacker we're going to talk about, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with it. I think Colson was only drafted at this spot because Harbaugh. Like, I don't think he would have gotten this early had it been another team. Like, I don't believe that would have been the case. And I think, you know, we'll see how things play out. I think as a pure linebacker, he did well in college. I felt, as far as an instant impact, I don't know if he even has an instant impact right now in this roster yet. You know, and I saw him in one draft. It was a late third round pick that he was drafted in. Because if I were to go to my waivers, he's probably still sitting there in a lot of my rookie. Granted, we don't play super deep rosters, so the spots are very, very limited. So you're not going to have him. But he is worth holding on to and putting him on your taxi, I think, for a few years to see how things play out. It's not, I mean, if I'm just picking him off waivers, I don't feel bad about it. I didn't waste a draft pick on him. I think you and I both agree, though, Peyton Wilson would be the guy I would draft. If we're talking this round, in this particular NFL, like I wanted Peyton Wilson to go to Dallas and it did not happen. And he landed to a team that maybe Pittsburgh might actually finally have a linebacker that's IDP relevant, because let's be honest, you guys haven't had one in a while that was really, I mean, I guess you could count TJ Watt. I mean, he depends on how your leagues portray him. Cause I love that there's some leagues or some apps out there that still put him as a linebacker / defensive end. So I'm okay with that. And as long as I keep doing it, I'm loving it. But as a pure linebacker, it's been a while since, you know, the Steelers have had an actual very valuable IDP player. And I think Peyton Wilson breaks that. I was a huge fan. I really wanted him to go to Dallas. I felt he was going to be a great pick. Dallas did go get a linebacker. I'm not really mentioning him because I don't think he's worth grabbing right now, because I'm not sure what Zimmer's going to do with this team. But I think if Peyton Wilson went to Dallas, definitely drafting him. And even though he's in the Pittsburgh Steelers and I can't stand you guys, let's be honest, I'm still drafting Peyton Wilson. Like, Peyton Wilson is my favorite linebacker in this whole group of linebackers that were drafted. I think I have him higher than Edgerrin Cooper.
And you know what? I read a lot of reports, man, talking down on him, like, you know, knee issues. Is he going to be able to get the second contract? You know, I just think the Steelers really draft well. And I think this is going to be a guy who's overlooked. I definitely agree with you. This is my favorite linebacker. I actually picked him in the second round of that draft I did last night of four rounds. And many people thought that was a little bit of a reach. And I understand that there's concerns here, but I mean, the guy at the combine, he's a quirky guy. One of our guys on the IDP Plus team did an interview with him. Great interview, great personality. Man, if you saw Luke Kuechly, there was a video going around, Luke Kuechly talking real nice about Peyton Wilson. All this positivity coming in Pittsburgh about Peyton Wilson. I'm excited for it, man. I just was on a podcast with you a couple weeks ago talking about how Steelers, like you said, man, track record, they really haven't had many, you know, top-notch linebackers, IDP. This year, they may have two. You know, I could definitely see Patrick Queen having that year. Peyton Wilson, I think I'm a little bit more comfortable drafting him in Dynasty. I'm not on the board with, like, the whole he's only going to last for 2 or 3 years. I think he's here to stay. So Dynasty, I like him a lot. I'm just a little bit tampering expectations on redraft leagues. Is that fair to note?
Yeah, redraft, I'm not going after him because Patrick Queen is the guy. I hate that you guys got him too. Like, Patrick Queen, I'm actually super excited to see this season for him. Because again, Pittsburgh hasn't really had a linebacker that's worth drafting. I mean, if you're thinking, like, I think about teams and I'm like, okay, if I'm drafting a player from the Steelers, it's TJ Watt.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Like, you know, you're not really going crazy for any of the players that the Pittsburgh Steelers have, because just a lot of inconsistent play from these guys. Mm-hmm. But I like Patrick Queen. I think you've got a great linebacker in Peyton Wilson who's going to learn from him. My only concern with Peyton Wilson, he's 24 coming into the league. So I'm not crazy about the age, right? If he was 21, 22, you know, that would have been exciting. But 24, that's, you know, let's be honest, 24 coming into the NFL is old, mm-hmm. you know, And he does have some wear and tear on his body, but I still think he is a better linebacker than most of these guys that are coming out of this draft. You know, there's only one linebacker, and we'll talk about in another round, that I love as well. And I got to see him and watch him play at the Senior Bowl when I was down there in Alabama. So, but yeah, I like this pick. I think, you know, I'm looking at this third round. I'm looking at all the players that have been drafted. There's not many that I'm going after in my rookie drafts, whether it be dynasty or if I'm even looking at redraft. There's only so many players you can get in redraft that, you know, is a rookie. And Peyton Wilson's number one. You know, we're looking at the rest of this. I just, looking at this third round, I there wasn't a lot of players that I'm like super, super excited about. You know, like I wasn't crazy about Trevin Wallace that went to Carolina. I'm not crazy about Brandon Trice. Like a lot of these players that maybe they'll have some value. Maybe I'm overlooking them, but I looked at a lot of these players and there's only a few that I'm going after in this third round. I felt fourth round had some better value coming up.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, the Trevin Wallace pick, a lot of people think that, you know, he's going to step up and be somebody. He might, you know, the thing about Trevin Wallace is he's kind of a flex player, and people are like, oh, Frankie Louvu, that was what he did. And Frankie Louvu had a great past couple years in Carolina, but I'm not really sold on Wallace yet. They still have Shaq Thompson. They just brought in Josie Jewell. So, like, when's he going to get his opportunity, right? Might take an injury. And then I don't know what his floor is. Is he going to be, you know, 80-plus tackles and 5 or more sacks? Because if he is, that's great. But if not, I really can't bank on it. You feel me?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not. Wasn't really crazy about a lot of the players in this third round. I think third round actually went really definitely to the offensive side when it comes to players in depth and, you know, that we had talked about last week's video, but defensive, not so much. Like I said, fourth round, I do like some of the players that were drafted in the fourth round that I think have some value in dynasty for sure. Possibly in redraft.
Spark it off. Fourth round. Who you like? Give me a name.
Cedric Gray. Absolutely Cedric Gray. I love what that kid was like. Again, I saw him. I went, you know, I was at the Senior Bowl. Got to see some of these amazing athletes come in and really show off against their peers. And one player that stood out almost every single play was Cedric Gray. Like this kid, I took notes and I'm like watching him. He showed explosion. He showed the ability to run through, you know, guards, tight ends, whatever, trying to block him. Like he did a great job, shredding these blocks. He was great at running through and actually reading the running back really well and then making that burst to try to stop him at the line. Great. He wrapped up really well. I mean, there was just everything he did about like was just great. Like, you know, and some players really stood out. Again, he's younger, right? He's 21. He just showed a lot for me. I do want to see a little bit more strength out of him. He didn't wow anybody when it came to the bench press, but he is one of my favorite players that came out of this draft that, again, the Titans got a nice little steal for sure. I thought he was fantastic.
Now, let me ask you this. We know Azeez Al-Shaair is the guy, linebacker for the Titans, had a great year last year. Jack Gibbons was kind of like the coach's little, you know, puppet. They really liked him. They gave him the starting spot. He did well to begin the season, kind of faded, and then eventually got hurt, got placed on IR. Do you think Cedric Gray can, number one, step up and be the number two guy? And number two, I know I said it kind of confusing. What do you think his role is there? You know, is he safe floor kind of guy for fantasy?
That's where I'm not sure about where he stands in the redraft world. You know, because I don't know if he's going to have value instantly this season. We'll have to see what, you know, these mini camps and training camps and all that stuff. And, you know, when depth charts come out later this summer. So I'm not really sure where he stands with there. Do I think he ends up becoming their number one linebacker? I do think so. I think Gibbons was not really, I think he was more of a fill-in. I think he was more of a trial and error and see how he does. There were flashes of Gibbons doing really well. I had him in a couple leagues just kind of as a filler. And I felt he did really well last season, but he was very inconsistent. Yeah, I'm a big, like I said, I'm risking it. I'm drafting him in my dynasty drafts for sure. He is definitely somebody I'm going to keep on my team, even if I'm have to taxi him, if my roster is a little bit lighter in players, because I do think he turns into the guy that they, again, either he becomes the one or he becomes clearly the number two, because they struggled. Tennessee was not great defensively, even though they had a great defensive coach and Mike Vrabel, and they tried, they played hard, but they just were missing some personnel. And I think he's a nice, great personnel that's going to come in really well. I get redraft. I'm not sure. I don't think he has any value really as of right now. Like if I'm going to give you an answer right now, it's I'm not putting him in my redraft leagues.
For now. Let's see what he does in OTAs. If he's going to be a starting linebacker, I like what you had stated about him. I think he definitely has potential. Young guy who can definitely make a name for this team and IDP leagues out there as well. Another guy I wanted to mention here, another linebacker. I don't know if this is really a household name. Maybe I'm crazy, but sometimes crazy gets paid, right? Tyrese Knight going to Seattle Seahawks. Now, a lot of people have Tyrell Dodson penciled in as the starter next to Jerome Baker. And, you know, Baker, number one, like he's on a new team. He's coming off an injury. He was somebody who wasn't like a Jordan Brooks, like leading the league in tackles. He's a little bit of a hybrid himself, gets it after the quarterback. Then you've got Tyrell Dodson. Yeah, he's a sure tackler, but like, I really haven't seen much from him, you know, when he got opportunities. He's had spike games here and there. So I'm not really sure. I'm not sold first off on Dodson. I don't know much about this Tyrese Knight guy, but this is definitely somebody who I'm going to be scouting when it comes to redraft, you know, redraft time in August and seeing, you know, what kind of role he's going to have. But if he gets a starting role, this is somebody who I think can make some noise here. You know, not really a household name, but I think he's a little bit underrated. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he could be a nice little sleeper if you have the space and you need to pick him up to kind of sit there for, you know, maybe 2, maybe 3 years. So, I mean, there's just some opportunities. He's got a good size for him. He's got some good speed. I think it was 4.6 or something like that for his 40. Showed great burst. Again, he showed his hips were smooth, you know, coming in and out, you know, trying to, you know, again, whether it's going after the linebacker, you know, running back or covering a safety. So we'll see. I like one player I actually do like that I think maybe could have some value in Dynasty is Evan Williams, the safety for the Packers. I like him coming into this, you know, possibly as a potential, you know, play. I don't think he's going to have any redraft value at all right now, but I like his size. I like his speed. Again, I felt he was somebody that, you know, I'm thinking of the Packers defensively. Maybe he could possibly squeak himself into that role there. We're doing a lot of this kind of early. We're just going based off of where they landed and possibilities. And, you know, when you're talking a team that was one of the youngest last year in playoffs and they're only trying to get better, I think they're going after some really talented players that I don't think they needed, but may end up becoming some instant value. Like the Packers are a team that I'm nervous about, not even just because they obviously destroyed my Cowboys in the playoffs, but this team is so young that they're only getting better and they're still staying at that young age. So I'm really nervous for like just the NFC side. Like that Packers team is going to be good for years to come if they continue to grow and what the expectation is. But yeah, I think he's a nice little secret play if you want to. I picked him up on waivers because nobody really drafted him. And again, not many people go after defensive backs. So, but he was worth. I'm okay with sitting there. Let him sit in my roster for a couple years if I have to. Might get a nice little steal out of him.
Well, one other player I want to mention. He's also a safety in this round. Is the guy who got drafted to the defending champions, the Chiefs, Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. This is somebody who I was listening to the Rod Pod podcast as Joe Harlow was talking about him. He really liked him, you know, and to me, I don't really know much about Hicks. And, you know, they do have Reed there. They have Cook, Brian Cook, like, is he really – you know, that starter worthy. I don't know, you know, he was a second round pick, but I'm not really sold on him at this point. I think there might be an opportunity for Jaden Hicks here. You know, in a world where the Spagnuolo defense makes some wacky picks and makes them work, I think this might be a good pick and somebody who can return IDP value very soon. What do you think, Steve? Jaden Hicks.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, again, Hicks is I'm just trying to think the team, you know, you got the, what, the Chiefs, right? Landing him in, I don't know. I think I'm looking at this team. You lose Snead, which was a big play, and I know he was their corner, but there were times I felt like Snead played more like a defensive, like a safety, or, you know, than anything else, like the way his play style was. He moved all over the field. Hicks, obviously, maybe they moved some players around to put Hicks in there. I think I'm thinking about how this defense plays out. He was a good, you know, of the safeties. He was kind of middle of the pack when it came to safeties coming into this class. He wasn't like the worst rated player, obviously, but he was rated pretty well. And, you know, he had some great athletic scores. He showed the ability to kind of transition. Maybe you put him at the, like, safe, like, instead of safety, maybe you put him at that nickel corner spot. You know, I think he could play well against some tight ends. He's got good size. Like, I think he's 6'2". So I think there's a possibility he plays up and help in that, because I think they did use a lot of defensive backs. I remember watching that team, their linebackers. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not sold. I'm just not sold on their linebackers. So he could have some value there, you know, putting him as the nickel linebacker. I see that a lot, where you're seeing these big safeties moving to the nickel linebacker to help cover some of these explosive tight ends or some of these slot receivers. You're seeing that more and more often, right? The linebacker comes off the field. You got the safety coming in. Maybe that's where he'll have some value. The players we're talking about right now are going to be really tough to draft unless you've got 4 or 5 rounds in your drafts, which, don't get me wrong, some people, so I've seen some crazy leagues. But, you know, most rosters, you're not going to be handling these type of players right away. But these are players right. You may want to keep an eye on if you are in deeper leagues that you can possibly store, whether it be on your taxi spot or something like that. And, like, you know, when we start talking round, you know, 6, 7, like, I mean, there might be one player we're going to mention that just has some value that I think you might want to grab.
Right.
You know, because this, I would say this class, 2024, was really great and deep at defensive line, offensive line, receivers, you know, quarterbacks. Like, those are the positions I felt had the best value in this class. So linebackers, this was not that class for that. So it's tough for IDP this season when it comes to, you know, linebackers. There's what, maybe 3 or 4 linebackers you're drafting, and the rest you're kind of sitting on,
right,
you know, waivers or something like that.
Well, let's move on to round 5. And I have one player to talk about in this round, and this is somebody who I'm sticking my neck out for. He's a legacy. You know, his dad played for the Eagles. He's now playing for the Eagles. Jeremiah Trotter, man.
How did I know?
I just don't know. I'm not sold on Devin White. He could return to form. He could wreak havoc on that defense. Then again, they lost Hassan Reddick. Maybe they use a Devin White a little bit more at the quarterback. You know, maybe he's a outside backer, you know, pushing to make some sacks. So at that point, all they have left is N'Kobe Dean. Who is N'Kobe Dean? I fell for that trap last year. Lasted like 1 week, and then he was on IR, and, you know, false hope. They were dangling the carrot over me all year. I don't know if they're really going to go back, dip their hand back in that well. So I think Jeremiah Trotter really got some good things going for him, and he's not somebody who, you know, is really talked about much. But I think in definitely in Dynasty, I'm interested, and I definitely think in redraft, he's going to have his time this year for one reason or not. Steve, what do you think about Trotter?
Man, that name is – yeah, maybe as a Cowboy fan, that's what it is. Like,
sorry to bring up bad memories.
Jeremiah Trotter was an amazing linebacker, and he's the type of player that, you know, even as a fan of the opposite team, you still had respect for, right? Like, Trotter was great. You hope these legacy players, you hope these players that have that NFL gene in them, right? Like, you were just bred to be an NFL player. Shows up really well. You know, there's a lot in this class. I thought it was, man, you think about your alt, right? You had Jeremiah Trotter. You had Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah. You got
Brendan Rice, Marvin Harris. I mean, there are so many legacy players, which just tells me how old I'm getting at this point. I've seen all these guys play, and now I'm seeing their kids play. I'm like, man. But besides that, I actually like this spot. Realistically, let's be honest, he could be a starter this season. Like, I look at, you know, that team and just what they've got now, there is an actual solid chance that he has a chance to start the season. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. And he does have the ability, you know, I guarantee he's learned a lot from his dad. I think guarantee there's things that, you know, sometimes these, it doesn't always work it that way, but sometimes these kids are just given a leg up on the competition because of what they were able to do, you know, growing up. They saw a lot. They got to see, I mean, think about it. These kids grew up on the sidelines in the NFL. So they kind of know going into it kind of what to expect. You know, you've got that little bit of edge. And I think Trotter could easily be in a spot that he could secretly start. And I think that would not be a bad move. You know, he's a name that I didn't see a lot of people go after in drafts that I've been in. So, you know, now I've got to start looking at my waivers and see if maybe I missed him, because I just don't remember seeing his name that often. But, you know, looking at the roster and what he's got going on, I mean, there's a chance that he could possibly be a starter. Like, he just opportunity wise.
Right. I think he's hungry. Rookies are hungry. And I think if he gets his opportunity, he's going to take it and, you know, fly off. So, pun intended there on the Eagles. So Jeremiah Trotter, excellent value here in the fifth round. Steve, you got any fifth rounders for me to talk about?
I mean, it was Jeremiah Trotter, because he was the one that definitely stood out in this round. You know, I looked at some of these other players that, you know, looking at this round, you've got a couple of corners that came in, but again, cornerbacks you were not going after. There's no reason for you to go after a cornerback on your IDP league, especially in this late of a round. One of the other players I looked at that was like, well, maybe there's a chance that maybe he's got some value down the road. I wasn't completely sold on the fact of where he landed, but maybe it plays a factor, is Hampton for the Commanders. Mm. The only reason I bring him up is because, again, I think I'm thinking about what Dan Quinn is looking for in his players. Because I'm curious how this team is going to be built. You know, with Dan Quinn is obviously a defensive-minded coach. He's got Kingsbury to deal with the offensive side. So he is going to absolutely put his thumbprint on this roster. Hampton ran a 4.5. He's a good size. He's 6'2". And, you know, you start looking at, like, this. I looked at looking at how they're built. You got Curl, right? And then possibly Jeremy Chinn, who I'm a big fan of, so I'm still rooting for, you know, as far as the possible safeties on this team, because I do think Jeremy Chinn really falls in line with what Dan Quinn is looking for, that hybrid linebacker slash corner. Like, he's the Donovan Wilson, which my belief is if that ends up happening, Donovan Wilson ends up becoming the nickel safety, the nickel linebacker. He's going to play or even just a outside linebacker role. Then Curl's obviously your clear cut safety. And then maybe Hampton sneaks it in. You know, there's a chance he can sneak in. You got obviously Forrest there still, but I don't know. I kind of like the spot. So he's the only other one in this round that possibly has a chance to kind of squeak in. Like, he has some opportunities based off of this roster.
I respect that. Now, looking at round 6 through 7, to me, I got nobody. I'm waiting on this. I'm not sticking my neck out for any of these guys. I'll save the breath. How about you, round 6 through 7, or any undrafted, some guys you want to put on the map?
So, you know, I looked at those two rounds. Nobody gave love to any of the kickers out there. I know we don't talk kickers. I mean, yeah, we punters are great defenders. If we're to be honest, they help the teams out. But no, I mean, realistically, these are guys that are, these are your fringe slash practice squad guys, you know, like, these are guys that are going to be fighting for a possible spot. Again, looking at what the defensive players and some of these guys, like, there's nobody that really stands out. And a lot of these guys are going to be in spots where they're just going to be backups at the moment for at least 3 or 4 years before contracts end and things like that, like, where maybe they might stand out. And they've got, these guys are going to be all every single one of them are going to be like straight special teams players at this point. So there's nobody really to be bothering with. They're all going to sit in your waivers for a while. Don't worry about it. They're going to be all available. I think offensive players have a better chance in later rounds than defensive players when it comes to this, because again, you know, we had talked about the offensive players. There are a couple of players that even these, they may stand out by name, but they're not really going to stand out when it comes to actually playing. So there's really nobody I'm going after. I'm not even considering. It's too hard for these guys to really have value this season. Now, in 3 or 4 years, some of these guys are going to stand out, and they are going to be someone that you're picking up, you know, for your redraft team every single year. But right now, your picks are so valuable in rookies that these guys aren't even considered grabbing.
Right. Like, somebody guys, might be Puka the defense. I mean,
and it's true. But again, these are guys that we're going to talk about in 3 or 4 months when the season's kind of rolling, and we're going to talk about waivers or sleepers that we're starting to see some things change. Then, yeah, then we can revisit and start talking about some of these guys' names. But when we're talking rookie drafts right now, no, don't waste your picks right now. If you're not in love with what you're about to draft, trade it away. Get up some picks next season, you know. Let somebody else have it.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. So we had a nice breakdown here, rounds 1 through 7, almost 7, you know, of defensive players who can make an impact, who you should be trying to acquire, try to pick in your IDP dynasty rookie drafts right now, startups especially. So I want to give a shout out to Average Joe's _FF. If you haven't followed him, go ahead and give him a follow. Anytime I have a trade question, I send it Steve's way. Anytime I have a pick in a dynasty, I send his way, just for verification. This guy knows what he's talking about. You know, and hopefully you guys out there rock with both of us. If you haven't followed us, give us a follow already. Thank you for all our continued viewers and listeners. Steve, is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
Johnny's too humble. He knows way more than I do. Don't listen to him. He just wants to know who I'm picking so he can snipe me in our league. So don't worry about it. He knows all his stuff.
I know you love the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm ready for the season to start. I think we're all excited. I'm watching mini camp videos right now in watching these players just throwing in shorts just because I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it. We've got a lot of rookie content. We've obviously got some stuff next week. Make sure you guys are obviously, again, subscribe to the channel, listen to all our podcasts. There's a lot of great ones out there, not just, you know, Johnny and I. Read our articles. I drop articles as well for IDP Plus. There's some great ranking articles and stuff I just recently did. Again, follow us on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I'm ready to go.
I tell you what, if you're rocking with us right now, you're in a good spot, but make it a great spot. Stick with us throughout the offseason, into August, into redraft season. Follow the IDP Plus team, all members, because they have great information coming out that I'm retweeting every day. And of course, Steve's wonderful dynasty videos. I was just doing a dynasty draft, listening to Steve's round 3 and 4 picks late round. I'm like, hold up, I'm not making my pick yet. I got to see who Steve's talking about. So absolutely, we got a great team, great thing going for us. And looking forward to seeing you next week. Thank you to all our viewers and listeners. And as always, bless up.